The Water Values Podcast, session 146.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resources, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGimsey.
Hello and welcome to another session of the Water Values Podcast. As my daughter Sarah said, my name is Dave McGimsey and thanks so much for joining me. We've got a great show for you today. We have David LaFrance, CEO of the American Water Works Association. David's going to come on. He's going to talk about a wide range of stuff. Everything from AWWA basics and mission statement to some of the strategic initiatives internationally and what AWWA is doing in India. And that's a great story right there in and of itself. He'll go through some federal legislation that AWWA has worked very hard on as well. So we'll talk P3, we'll talk ACE-19. So it's just a really good interview. You're really going to learn a lot. David's, as always, fantastic. But before we get there, a little bit of housekeeping as normal. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you know, it does cost money to keep the media host going, the web host going, all that good stuff. So there's a little PayPal button on the website, thewatervalues.com. You can go there, scroll down a little bit, click donate, and any denomination helps defray the cost of putting on the podcast. Next, thank you so much. We've received a couple more five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts since the last episode, and we're now at 122 total ratings. The vast majority of those are five stars. We have a composite. Apple, I noticed, switched up their algorithm or their calculation metric, but we're 4.9, but we have something like 113 five-star ratings, and there's a couple other, like some fours and a three, and there's a one. Thank you very much, whoever gave me the one. But in any event, go on the Apple Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever podcast directory you use to listen, and rate and review the podcast. It just helps folks find out about it. We greatly appreciate you doing that for me. With that said, let's get on with it. Let's open the valves, fasten your seatbelts, and here we go with David LaFrance. Well, David, welcome to the Water Values Podcast. So glad you could come on. How are you today?
I am great, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Before we kind of get into the meat of the program, David, let's hear a little about your background and how you got interested in water.
I'm happy to talk about that. I'll start with the fact that I've been the CEO of the American Water Works Association, headquartered here in Denver, Colorado, for the past 9 years. It's been quite an honor to lead the premier water association in the world, the oldest and the largest, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later if you'd like. But more than just being the CEO, I've been a member of AWWA for about 25 years. My water career spans being the CFO for Denver Water, one of the largest water association in Colorado. I also worked for a large consulting firm called C.H. Tome Hill, now part of Jacobs. And before that, I worked for the Corps of Engineers, doing some work for them as well. So all my life, all my career, my professional career has been all about water and its various forms.
Terrific. Now, I think it's real. I like the fact that you were the CFO at Denver Water, because I think a lot of the challenges we're dealing with in the industry are financial in nature, and so we can hit that in a little bit. But you mentioned the AWWA. Obviously, a lot of people know about it. This is going to sound like a really dumb question, but can you kind of tell us, you know, who the AWWA is, what it is, mission, you know, things of that nature?
Sure, I'm happy to. In fact, I love to talk about AWWA. So first, AWWA stands for the American Water Works Association. For many people, it sounds like maybe that's a square on the Monopoly board. But it is actually the oldest and the largest water association in the world. It was started in 1881 at the University of Washington in St. Louis. 22 gentlemen, all of whom had water treatment responsibilities, got together to share expertise and best management practices on how to make water safe to drink. And at that time, there was a lot of waterborne disease that they were trying to eradicate. And those 22 individuals formed the American Water Works Association and began the strategic elimination of cholera and typhoid here in the U.S. So today, we are about 52,000 members strong, much larger than the 22 who began us. We are in 92 countries around the globe. Most of our members are in North America, about 10% of them in Canada, and then most of the remainder in the United States. Our vision is a better world through better water, and that became our vision in 2013 when our board strategically decided that they wanted to have more of a global presence and to take the practices that began with those 22 gentlemen in St. Louis and sort of help spread those around the globe in a strategic way. You know, we don't have unlimited resources. We're a nonprofit organization, so we have to be selective as to how we use the nonprofit revenue. When I talk to members of AWWA, because we're a membership organization, there's a few things that stand out. Everyone is familiar with our journal, which is a monthly publication that describes best management practices. And we have launched with that a companion journal called Water Science, which is a peer-reviewed journal. It's only available electronically at this point. They're also very familiar with the fact that when you join AWWA, you're a member of the international organization that I run, and you're assigned to a local chapter, or what we call section of AWWA. And coming up in June, our signature conference, ACE, which happens every year in June, is also something that all of our members look forward to and talk about. And we also are the only standards writing organization in the water space. While many people don't know what standards are, I think the easiest way to think about it is that products, materials, business practices, the AWWA writes standards on how all of those should be done. And the benefit, the simplest example of the benefit of that is that if you were to pick up a pipe in LA and take it all the way to Boston, that pipe would fit the pipes of Boston because the pipes are all built to the same standard. And that standard is defined by the American Water Works Association and our volunteers who write the standards. That gives you a sense of, you know, who we are and what value we bring. I suppose I did miss one thing, which is, I've missed several things, but one of the big things is we do provide educational opportunities and networking opportunities for everyone in the water profession. And the water profession is full of a variety of disciplines and professional types of people these days.
Yeah, well, when you're asked to do a little thumbnail like that, it's easy to miss stuff. But I think you gave us a great, you know, high-level overview of the AWWA, you know, and going from 22 members to 52,000 members, that's what I think they call exponential growth.
it's been multiple years. We wish we had grown faster, but we are proud of our impact on the water sector. And you know, when you're as broad as we are in terms of what we offer, the elevator speech requires a high rise because you have to go from the ground floor all the way up to that top penthouse, and you need a long elevator for the elevator speech. Sorry.
That's no problem. So let's go back to that 2013 board vision you mentioned, and kind of becoming the premier water organization in the world. I know you've got some strategic initiatives in the works, and that have actually been launched. For example, India is one of the places where you've recently set down roots. Can you tell us a little about the expansion to India and why it's important to export U.S. water expertise?
I'd be happy to talk about that. The one thing, while there is some quote exporting of U.S. expertise, there's also opportunities for us to learn from the people, the water professionals of India. So we went about, as I mentioned earlier, we had to be really careful with our limited resources as a nonprofit organization. And so in 2013, when we created our new strategic plan, which included this world vision, we sat down and developed a business case analyzing where our international members come from, who participates actively with AWWA from their home country. And we looked at certain things like rule of law, GDP, population growth, what the water situations were. And many, and we did this in combination with an organization within AWWA called our International Council. So these are all members of the American Water Works Association who volunteer their time to sit on a council within our, that reports ultimately to our board and sits on our board. Their council chair sits on our board. And they're responsible for helping AWWA with its international strategy. So through that process that we went through, this sort of systematic evaluation, we narrowed down the field of places where we could possibly have an impact and what kind of impact we could have. So in some places like Australia and in England, the impact is simply like sharing our manuals and our publications with them. They don't really have a need for AWWA to create a community in their country to unite the water professionals because they have those sorts of organizations already. But in India, as we all know, India has many sort of demographic and environmental challenges that are separate them from other places. And as we did the evaluation, we had had a long relationship with India in a very passive way. But what we decided was that to have a real impact in India, we needed to be there with boots on the ground in the country so that we could create a community of water professionals there, similar to how we have 43 sections of AWWA in North America. So in 2015, after doing a solid business case and working hard to make sure we had the right business model, we opened up our doors in Mumbai, India. One of the big challenges there, of course, is water quality, the culture of open defecation, and the fact that at most people's houses, they don't have 24/7 water. They don't have 24/7 power. And the water is not safe to drink from your tap the way we've become accustomed to it. India does have a population that is growing rapidly. By 2025, they're expected to surpass China, who right now has the largest population. So you can imagine this community of rich culture and history and yet poor water quality, expected to grow in population, expected to grow in economic success as well. And yet we know here in the U.S. and in North America and in most developed countries that water is critical to that type of growth. So AWWA opened our doors, started to create a community. We have over 250 members in India at this point, starting off with 17 when we launched this. Our hopes are to continue to build that community, uniting those Indian water professionals so they can work together. This year we are increasing, and we're on a path to increase our training for the next 3 years so that they get the benefits of all of the knowledge that AWWA has in terms of operations and maintenance and management of water utilities, and providing them access to all of our printed materials as well. And we are at the same time, the Indian water professionals come to AWWA's ACE each year, and we enjoy the benefit of learning about their challenges and learning about how they, because their water-stressed areas are forces them to be innovative in a way that we don't have to be. So we have the opportunity to learn from them as well.
Yeah, that's I'm so happy you brought that point up. What are some of the kind of the early returns on that, in terms of learning from how water professionals in India are addressing water stressed areas?
So probably a couple of things that they do differently. One is they are more they favor more a decentralized treatment plant process. So rather than having a centralized treatment plant which has a big footprint on a piece of property, they will have smaller satellite treatment plants. Some of that is a function of land area, but it's also a function of the fact that as water would leave the source, it oftentimes is disrupted by theft. And so having it treated as close to the place of use helps. It still isn't solving the problem, but it certainly does help for them. And so in the U.S., especially on reuse areas or wastewater areas, that opportunity is being explored more. It isn't the norm here, of course. It's not the basic practice, but there's still things for us to learn from them. And I'd say the other sorts of things is they do have a growing interest in their young professionals and especially their female professionals, which is really fantastic to see. And then the third thing I'll sort of speak about is our government and our federal government and our regulatory processes are well developed, especially relative to what's happening in India. And so when you look at, I'm oftentimes asked as I look at what's happening there as to whether or not India needs a US EPA. And that's such an interesting question because the US EPA provides great value to the public in the US and guidance for the water systems, and sometimes we look at the US EPA as you would a regulator, as being sort of wise and helpful and sometimes bureaucratic and in our way and complicated. But at the end of the day, the water professionals in India look to it as a way to protect the environment when wastewater is returned to it and to protect the public's health, which, of course, is part of the mission of the US EPA. It just creates a good contrast for us to think about.
Terrific. So that's a great summary of the AWWA's work in India and kind of what we can learn from them. And
yeah.
So I'm really happy you're doing that. Let's shift our focus a little bit. I know that one of the things that AWWA is provides advocacy, and there's been some federal legislation I'd like to touch base with you on, and that's WIFIA and the Farm Bill. Could you address each of those in turn and kind of explain a little bit about what they are and then why they're important?
Right. So AWWA, headquartered here in Denver. And we do have an office in Washington, D.C. That is where our water policy professionals reside. They work closely on legislative matters and regulatory matters. And they provide this amazing value to the water sector that because they speak as the voice of the 52,000+ water utilities across the United States. And part of our strength when we work with the EPA or when we go to the Hill to talk to the legislators is that we have so many water utilities who are members, and they care about what the water utilities are interested in, and they want to learn from them. So the individuals in our DC office have that heavy responsibility to represent that. A few years ago, we did some important work on infrastructure and the crumbling infrastructure that's buried beneath the roads. And that we did a report called the Buried No Longer Report, meaning that the issues buried underneath the streets, we wanted to bring up to the surface so everybody would know about them. And we estimated that replacing the buried infrastructure over the next 25 years was a trillion-dollar problem. About half of that was to replace the existing infrastructure, and half of it was to put in new infrastructure for where people wanted to live. And that report became really pivotal because it quantified the order of magnitude of the problem that we're facing. And if our buried pipes aren't of the right quality, then that puts public health at risk. And our report, by the way, was just about the drinking water pipes. It did not include the wastewater side of the water cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine that it would be even more if you included the need for replacing wastewater collection systems pipes. But what it also did was it pointed out the challenge that water utilities have of paying for all of these capital infrastructure projects. And that, so AWWA set about modeling a bill for a low interest rate loan program that goes by the acronym of WIFIA, which stands for the Water Infrastructure Finance Innovation Act. And it was signed into law by President Obama. And the U.S. EPA administers this loan. This loan has the ability to be funded and then through a multiplier effect be able to give out more loans than the original funding. The interest rates are low and benchmarked to some government-level funding costs. And it's designed for sort of larger innovative, that's why the I in WIFIA for innovation, innovative type projects. It is for drinking water, for wastewater, for reuse water, storm water, and other type of urban water projects. So far, they've had two rounds of funding. They've funded millions and millions of dollars of capital projects. And interestingly, even though AWWA has a brand of primarily being a drinking water organization, our focus on what we call total water solutions, or what many people call one water solutions, has really carried the day as it relates to WIFIA, because WIFIA loans, over half of them have been made for wastewater utilities. It really just shows how AWWA focuses on the broader urban water cycle. So that's the WIFIA question. Then that also led to some work that we did on affordability, because as you start to replace the infrastructure, and even with the benefit of low-cost loans for replacing that infrastructure, the price of water must go up. And so AWWA started to get into some hardcore analytics with other associations to define the issues of affordability for water. And at the same time, you mentioned the Farm Bill. AWWA over the past 2 years has worked to have some source water protection. So imagine rivers and streams that can be impacted by runoff from farmland. To have some of the money in the Farm Bill, specifically in the title having to do with conservation programs, be dedicated toward protecting these source waters that run along agricultural areas. And the idea is a partnership between the drinking water sector or drinking water industry and the agricultural industry to work together to make buffer air.